Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Not Running from Fate by Ember Davis. Narrated by B.J. Harrison and Joss Sun. Chapter 1. Jace. As I run through the woods, I feel the stress and the worry of what the future holds falling away. I don't think it can ever truly leave me, not when my future is so unsure. I sometimes forget about becoming a monstrosity. But then I look down or I feel my feral mind brush against my consciousness, and I remember. As the years have passed since the Halloween party, where I was unfortunate enough to drink Dr. Karloff's special punch, the things I'd dreamed about are farther away. It's not like my dreams were a big revelation. I just wanted to live a normal life. I wanted to be the best park ranger possible and protect Screaming Woods, because I loved getting lost there while being surrounded by nature and clean air without the noise of the town. I found solace in the quiet. I still do. At least my job wasn't hindered by my change. In fact, I'm probably more suited for the job now than I was before. The rest of what I hoped for my life, having a wife and kids, finding happiness and reasons to smile. Yeah, I don't think those things will ever happen, even with what seems like eternity at my disposal, since no one has aged since that night, including myself. I'm not going to hold my breath. How could I expect a woman to fall in love with me? I'm a fucking wolfman now. Hell, I had my doubts I would find it before one drink changed my life. It's not like I didn't have women in the town interested in me, but I didn't feel the same. It never felt right, and I've never been one to pretend. I sure as fuck wasn't going to pretend to be attracted to someone or have a connection to get my dick wet. There were attractive women in town before that fateful night. I could appreciate them, but they never called to me. There was always a voice in my head that said to wait. I thought I'd feel some kind of pull to the right person. Now, after a few years in my current state, I'm pretty sure the woods are going to be the only thing which gives me peace. I've accepted my fate. At least I can protect the woods to the best of my ability, and the more monstrous side of me loves being outside. I can run for hours without getting tired. My sense of smell is heightened, and I'm stronger than I used to be. Anyone who wants to come out here and mess with the sanctuary I share with Mother Nature and a few of my other monstrous townspeople will have a fight on their hands. I take my job seriously, and everyone knows it. As I run through the woods, I fight the primal need to mark my territory. During the last full moon, I couldn't stop the instinct, and my marks are still very potent. I should be ashamed of it, but the feral thing inside of me is smugly proud. I give Gregor's property a wide berth as I head back toward my small ranger cabin. He's an ogre and a permanent resident here in the forest. Like me, he's a grumpy asshole. It's hard to be out here alone, as we are, and hold on to our humanity. I snort at the thought. What fucking humanity? We're monsters. The humans of the town fled almost immediately, fear driving them, and I can't say I blame them. If I hadn't been unfortunate enough to be turned, I might have left too. I don't know. These woods have always been my home. I'd like to think I would have stayed. Maybe that's why I was destined to drink the punch. I howl, the noise coming from me unbidden, as my feral side tries to cope with the sadness and despair trying to pull me under. It's a daily struggle. Feeling sorry for myself isn't going to help anything. I grip my teeth, my pronounced canines straining my lips as I do. My howls can be heard for miles, and they only serve as a reminder of how much of an animal I've become. They do help me feel a release of those emotions, like a pressure valve, but part of me hates it. The part who is still Jace, before the change. I make fists and run faster, my feet slapping over the ground, leaves and sticks, which litter the forest floor, crunching and snapping under my feet. My nails, which I hate to think of as claws, even though that is exactly what they are, dig into my palms and draw blood. I growl, but the pain grounds me in the now and reminds me of my life as it is, my state as it is something I can't change. At least I have the woods. When I get to my ranger cabin, I stomp through the door, intent on eating something, and then sitting outside to search for peace. The weather is starting to cool slightly, but I run hotter now. I guess that is one perk to my wolfman state. Even the coldest days of winter don't bother me. It makes my life out here easier, but it hardly makes up for everything I don't have. The night of the party echoes in my head sometimes. We were all having so much fun. Everyone was wearing costumes and celebrating Halloween. It was festive and fun. It was the last night I've experienced that. When Karloff arrived and started passing around the punch he made, it added to the atmosphere. He'd always been the eccentric of the town. Now I'm pretty sure he's the most normal of the bunch. When he passed me my punch, he had a big grin on his face. "I think this is just what you need, Jace." It's a moment I relive, but I can't take back. Nothing will ever take back what we turned into. Karloff can try to find a cure for the rest of his life, but I've given up hope on it happening. Gregor changed right in front of my eyes. The sounds and screams coming from him still reverberate around me if I think about it too much. It was horrifying, and I found myself frozen as I stood there. The only warning that I got before I changed as well was the feeling of my skin tightening, my limbs elongated, and then became covered in fur. The sensation of my canines growing wasn't nearly as painful as the feeling of my growing fingernails. It was agonizing. It took me a moment, but I realized my screams turned to howls. I wished for death, but it never came. It still hasn't. And considering my increased healing abilities, I have my doubts it ever will. When I was able to come back to myself, my senses were heightened, and I could see everything clearly, but also muted in other ways. Being able to see as well as I did, considering it was midnight and dark, was jarring. My night vision helps me in my job, but I still resent the hell out of it. I resent all of it. I do go by Karloff's place now and again, because his cottage is in the woods, my woods. But I still can't bring myself to look the man in the eye. He changed so many lives that night, and I don't know if I can ever forgive him. I never had many friends because I preferred to be alone, which serves me well as a lone wolfman. But the change I went through has forced me to be even more reclusive. We might be a town full of monsters, but there are times when I can't control my feral nature. The need to hunt, to chase, and to feel the blood pumping in an animal as I take it down sometimes drives me and my actions. I'm afraid of myself. It's gotten worse in the last month or so, and I have no explanation. It's not like there's a support group for people who have been turned into monsters on the internet. I've looked. It's not there. When I find nothing worth eating, I sigh and run my clawed fingers through my hair. It's wild and unkempt, just like me. I hate the idea of going into town. I can hear so much and yet feel so disconnected from it all. If I accept the others as the monsters that they were turned into, then I'll have to accept myself. I'm not there, and I doubt I ever will be. It's easier to stay away. It's easier to retreat and have the woods as my only safe place. I hop in my Jeep and drive into town, letting the wind flowing through the open parts of the vehicle remind me I'm still outside, still in nature, and not caged in. It's one of my biggest fears, being trapped. The beast I've become, no matter how much I might try and suppress that side of my nature, would never survive such a thing. I need the wind, the smell of the fall air, the sky above us. When I'm at the point where the woods are becoming more town than forest, the scent of home floats to me and I slam on the brakes. I didn't know what home smells like until right now. It's blueberry muffins baking and fresh squeezed orange juice in a glass. It reminds me of morning with my family and lazy days. A growl comes out of the deepest part of my chest, and the hair on my body stands on end. My muscles bulge, threatening to rip the shirt I have on and the thighs of my jeans. I find myself tilting my nose in the air and inhaling deeply, trying to get more of the scent. My mouth is watering, actually fucking watering. I've never had this kind of reaction to a scent before. It calls me home and gives me hope, something I haven't felt in the years since the fateful night I became a monster. It doesn't make any damn sense. I force myself to start driving, but now I'm following the scent, tracking it through the open cab of my Jeep, needing it more than I need my next breath of clean air. I know without a doubt I'll never be able to exist without this scent in my life. It's comfort. Home. Forever. What the fuck? I clench my muscles and try to go a different direction, but I can't. It's like the feral part of me is driving my body right now, the part of me I never give in to, the part of me I've tried to push away since my change, even though it never works. I stop in front of a small house and take another deep breath. It's coming from here. There's a car in the driveway, one on the older side, but solid-looking. It's not a car I recognize, but there's been a lot of people moving in recently, and I'm not in town enough to know who all the new people are or what they drive. I know it doesn't belong to one of my fellow monsters. I would have smelled this before if it was a monster. There isn't any luggage in the car, and the house already has a lived-in feel to it. The scent is too concentrated to be brand new. Part of me wants to climb out of my Jeep and stalk up to the door to find the origins of the scent. But another part of me wants to run deep into the forest and never come out. Before I can decide, the door swings open, revealing a woman. One I've never seen before. The first thing I notice is her hair, because with the pastel purple, pink, teal, and blue, she almost looks like one of the monsters, a siren. But I know she's not. She's petite, at least to me in my 6'7" height. I wasn't always this tall, but even at the 6'1" I was before the change, I'd tower over her. She has curves in all the right places, and my cock goes rock hard as I look her over. I've never had this kind of reaction to a woman. I was pretty sure there was something wrong with me, but now my cock is aching. What was going on? As the woman approaches the car in the driveway, I'm hit with the blueberry muffin and orange scent again. Holy shit, it's her! She's what smells so fucking good! When her eyes come up and meet mine, I notice they're ice blue as they widen. It's the last thing I see before I take control of my body and peel down the street. I don't know what the fuck just happened, and I'm not sure I want to find out. Life is strange enough around here. I don't need to add to it. It's not like she would ever want me anyway.
Chapter 2. Dakota. There's something calming about screaming woods. Trust me, I know it makes no sense considering the number of unusual people who live here. It's hard to process the different creatures I've seen, but I'm not judging them. Creatures. I fucking hate that word to describe them. But I'm kind of at a loss over what other word to use. I've heard them refer to each other as monsters, but it feels wrong. Sure, they're not exactly normal, but who the fuck wants to be surrounded by normal? It would be boring as hell if everyone were the same. I almost got lost in what someone else expected of me, and I'm not going to do the same to someone else. I won't put them into a box when they don't deserve it. Boxes are so hard to break out of. I should know. It's one of the reasons I left Denver. Something was pulling me to Screaming Woods as I started to look for the perfect place to open the first storefront for the business that I run with my best friend Hadley. I can't explain why, but every time I thought about going somewhere else, I would feel sick. Not just uneasy or unwell, but I would get nauseous. I can't explain it, but then again, considering where I am, maybe I don't need to find an explanation. I've seen things. Things most people would think only exist in fairy tales. Orcs. A fairy. A vampire. I swear I saw a dragon flying around the other night. I've heard a howl from somewhere in the forest that set all the hair on my body on edge. Not from fear, though. It was something else entirely, and I'm not sure how to process it, which is why I've pushed it to the side. I've been here for a few weeks now, and I feel safe, even surrounded by all the residents of this little town. People have either accepted that I'm joining the community, or we've kept our distance. They're far more wary of me than I am of them. I guess it makes sense. They don't know me. It's their turf. I think this is going as well as it would in any new place. The place I chose just happens to have residents who are a little different. I'm okay with different. I've always felt unique, but I spent far too long trying to fit into a certain mold. Hadley spent years trying to get me to be me, but I put that energy into helping our business grow. I'm far more outgoing than Hadley is, but from the few conversations we've had since I came to Screaming Woods and she went to the Double Dog Dare Ranch, it sounds like she's coming out of her shell. I'm proud of her. I didn't even realize all the ways I've been suppressing the person I am, and most of it was because of my ex-boyfriend, McNeil. He wanted me to be a certain way, so I tried to fit into the box he created for me. I know my need to be loved comes from my own issues of not feeling like I'm enough as I am. McNeil took things too far. He was always manipulative. But I let it go for the most part, and then I was in too deep. It's not uncommon, and I won't pretend like it is, but that doesn't make it easier to heal from it all. He wanted me to be polite and smile when he wanted to impress others. He didn't want me to laugh too loudly. He had to approve everything I wore. He didn't want me to dye my hair. The last straw was when he put his hands on me, violently. It was a wake-up call, and I knew I couldn't look my family or Hadley in the eyes and stay with him. The longer we were apart, the better I felt in a lot of ways, but I also felt less safe. I knew he was stalking me. After he showed up where I was the third time, I got a feeling in my gut that something wasn't right, and wouldn't be as long as I stayed in Denver. That's when I started to look for a place to go, knowing I could go somewhere new and take the next step in our business plan. Opening a storefront has been something Hadley and I dreamed about for so long. We can ship most of our treats anywhere, but opening a store in Denver was going to be too expensive, and we had outgrown using Hadley's van as our base of operations. The last thing I did before I left Denver was go to Georgia, a friend of some of my customers who are one big family, to get my hair dyed. Now it's exactly how I've wanted it for years. The purple, teal, blue, and pink mermaid hair is perfect for me, and I feel like I'm stepping into who I am now, who I was always meant to be. Was it a big fuck you to McNeil? Sure, and I'm not even a little bit ashamed to admit it. He doesn't deserve to make decisions for me. Not after he left bruises on me. Fuck him. I can breathe here in Screaming Woods, and I found the perfect place for Paws Up. Things are exactly how they're supposed to be. The only thing I'm missing is Hadley being here, but it's okay. I have a feeling she's right where she's supposed to be. We can still run the business together, considering she was always the recipe girl. As I leave the little shop that I found, which used to be a cafe of some sort, and already has the equipment we'll need, I head down the street to Lucky Beans, a little coffee shop. I need the caffeine. I have a lot of work to do before I'm ready to open, but I'm so jazzed to get it going. I have a goal of being done and ready to open within a few weeks. I can do it. I know I can. I've never wanted anything more than for this to work out and for McNeil to forget all about me. When I think of him and the way he looked at me the last time I saw him, my gut twists in knots. As I tell myself I'm okay and I'm safe, I get the feeling someone is watching me. I stop on the sidewalk and look around, but I don't see anything. The wind changes direction and a smell hits me. It's like the best day of fall. The woods and crisp apples. My knees turn to mush, but I force myself to keep moving. No one is watching me. Why would they, other than to get a look at the new girl? I'm okay with it, considering I am. I've heard about the history of the town, and when everything went down at the party a few years ago, those who weren't changed left. I think it's kind of shitty people let their fear make their decisions. At the same time, their exodus is what leaves the spot where the old cafe was open for me to find. I guess it's a good thing in the long run. When I get into Lucky Beans, it looks like there's no one behind the counter at first, until I look closer to see the metal mesh apron and gloves Roan has on. The first day I came in to find a busy place, but didn't notice anyone working. I was confused. I figured out pretty quickly that Roan, the owner, is invisible, and how the metal mesh helps him to run his business. My heart goes out to him. It must be a difficult existence to not only not feel seen, but to actually not be seen. I smile in the direction of the counter and watch in fascination as he grabs a cup. Even with the metal glove he's wearing, it looks like it's floating in the air.
Want your regular, Dakota?
I grin wider as I get to the counter, happy to be known enough already that he knows what I want. It makes me feel all warm and settled in a way I'm not used to. It feels like I've spent a long time looking over my shoulder, but I don't need to do that here.
Thanks, Roan. Sounds perfect.
He turns away from me to make my mocha, and I find myself studying the apron he's wearing. It's only mildly strange at this point, though strange is kind of the norm in Screaming Woods. My voice is bright. How's it going today?
It's a good day for some coffee.
I can almost hear the smirk in his voice as he chuckles.
Every day is a good day for coffee.
I fire right back at him.
True enough.
The sound of his voice changes, as if he's looking at me.
How's the shop coming?
Great, I chirp. I'll be up and running in a few weeks. If you know of anyone looking for a job, please send them my way.
The cup lands on the counter in front of me as he promises.
I'll do that.
After paying, I give a little wave and weave back through Lucky Beans. I get a few nods or smiles of acknowledgement from some of the patrons in the coffee shop before I'm out the door again. I needed a little break, but I also don't want to stay away from Paws Up for too long. Gunner, the blacksmith and owner of Hot Steel, is making a sign for the shop and should be delivering it today or tomorrow. I don't want to miss him. I can't wait to see what he came up with. The hair on the back of my neck stands on end again,
and I stop in front of Paws Up and look around. This is so fucking strange. It's the same feeling I got yesterday when I was coming out of my house and locked eyes with a man who I can only describe as a wolf man. He was still the hottest man I've ever seen, and I could barely tear my eyes away from his glowing yellow ones. I wanted to run to him, but I held myself back, and then he was gone. Something inside of me is pulling at me, and I'm powerless against it. My feet are moving down the street and away from my shop without even realizing it. What the fuck? An urgency fills me, and it's the same thing I felt when I was looking into places to move and came across Screaming Woods. I need to find out where this leads me, and I can't rest until I do. It's so odd, but strangely comforting at the same time. It's like when you're standing on the edge of a bridge, right about to step out over nothing, but with the bridge underneath you, there's no denying you're safe. It's a damn good thing I'm not afraid of heights. I'm afraid of being hurt and being alone for the rest of my life, but taking this chance and following my instincts feels right. When I get to the end of the block, I turn the corner and slam into a wall, which is strange. There shouldn't be a wall here at all. I turned the corner. I didn't walk into the building, I don't think. A low growl has me snapping my head up to look into green eyes swirling with yellow. I'm powerless against those eyes, my brain turning sluggish as fire and desire I've never experienced before engulfs my body.
Fuck,
he grunts, and I blink up at him before looking him over. He's tall, really tall. He must be almost a foot or more taller than my 5'6". His shoulders are broad, and I want to grab a hold of them. I bet he gives the best damn hugs ever. The parts of his arms, which are exposed underneath his t-shirt, are covered in hair. When his lip curls up into a snarl, I see a canine. A fucking canine. My pussy floods with moisture, and my eyes widen with the realization that I'm reacting to him. I take a deep breath in the attempt to calm myself down when I'm hit with the same scent that I was earlier. Forest and apples.
It's you, I whisper. You're what smells so damn good.
I know I sound like I've lost it, but I don't even care right now.
You should watch where you're going.
His voice is a gruff rasp, as if he doesn't use it often. I look down his body and realize he's brushing away liquid, and my eyes widen in horror.
Oh, my, I breathe out. I'm so sorry. I didn't expect to run into you at all, but I felt this.
I pause, wondering if I should say it, but my mouth starts moving again before I can decide.
Pull, and I had to follow it.
He looks me up and down, and even though he tries to hide it, I see the way his eyes heat. When I look farther down his body, there's an obvious bulge in his jeans, and I can't help the pride and desire waging a war in me. I did that. I did that to him. His nostrils flare, and heat creeps up my neck and cheeks. Can he smell me? It wouldn't surprise me, considering he's not exactly human. Part of me is mortified, and another part of me wants to preen and then present my ass to him so he can fuck me from behind like a wild animal. This is officially the strangest thing that has ever happened to me.
You're new,
he growls, and I try and stop myself from shivering.
I am, I chirp brightly.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?